Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to We've Been Saying It Sports in the live at the Blue Ribbon Entertainment Company studios here in sunny Central Oregon. And yes, it is sunny at this time. Sorry for the delay. We definitely had some technical difficulties in the beginning. Here soon, I'm going to bring on my co-host here, and we're going to get into some things about the Cowboys because they're in the news again. And a couple great things. But first, I want to bring on my co-host, Lino Hernandez. How are you doing, buddy?
Pretty good, man. How are you doing today?
Pretty good, other than I forgot to unmute myself, and I went on a monologue, and nobody heard it.
Those are rookie mistakes, man. Come on, where are you at?
Rookie mistakes. Speaking of rookie mistakes, Chris Borland. If you're keeping track of this, one season, not even a full season, I don't think, retired 49er linebacker. Afraid of concussions.
Like, yeah, concussions or whatever?
Well, he said that, or the story that I heard from, that was first reported by Outside the Lions with ESPN, was that Chris Borland basically, he didn't have anything in the present, he had suffered a couple concussions during his school days, and he was wondering what the long-term effects would be, and apparently he went and did some research, consulted some peoples, took the money that he had gotten, and he is out of here, and he doesn't feel like he can play the game in the way that he wants to and come out the other side healthy.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, you know, you choose to go in the NFL, I think you already know what you're getting yourself into, you know?
I think so, too. But, I mean, yeah, and you get on this path, and maybe he just didn't think about that until now, and I don't know if I could say one way or the other definitively if it was a good decision. I mean, that's going to be up to him and how he's going to feel later. I tend to think of it in the way that some people have been talking about it today, is that, you know, you get that opportunity to enter the NFL, and he's talking about, you know, being there for his family, and I get all of that, but we're talking, you know, he probably would have been able to sign a pretty good deal with the 49ers this season, considering everybody that's leaving, and he could have made generational wealth and taken care of the rest of that family forever.
Yeah, it's hard to end it either. I mean, it all depends. Is he doing that out of fear because he doesn't want to, you know, come up, you know, out of it, you know, in a wheelchair? Or is it because he literally maybe doesn't love the game anymore? You know, I've known athletes who, after a while, you know, even after college careers, they just like, I enjoyed playing, but my heart's not in it anymore.
Yeah, that was Ryan Leaf, basically.
Right, Ryan Leaf. Yeah. Okay.
Yep. I bring his name up every so often. But there was a documentary on him that was pretty telling where he talked about he just did not want to play. That, like, even playing in college was a decision by his parents or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Ryan Leaf. Yeah. I think that's just somebody who, not, you know, transitioned well to the next level, and he floundered and failed. And he's going to say that he lost passion for the game. I mean, of course, if I suck at something, I'm going to lose passion for doing it.
Right. I mean, I guess that goes hand in hand.
We're talking about a 24-year-old here who still had many years of, you know, football eligibility left, you know, within his youth, and who's quitting now. I mean, Yeah. I guess kudos to him for not wanting to have, like, the physical ailments later on down the line. When we're talking about, like, knees or concussions or any kind of other, you know, joint issue that they're going to have back, you know, he'll be able to preserve mm-hmm. that. But who knows how he's going to be feeling, like, 2 years down the road.
Yeah, and I think there might be a bit of regret eventually. And, you know, he spent all those years through, probably since he was, what, 9 or 10, going up through high school and college and a season in the NFL, and he could still end up with problems from that, and you never know. I mean, he could have heart problems later. There's plenty of chances for him to have issues as is, and he won't have the big payday, but whatever.
But it preserves his youth, you know?
Yeah. I see it might be one, you never know. I kind of feel like maybe 2 years down the road, someone's going to pull him off the couch.
Yeah, they may. You know, I mean, it's a different scenario. Like, you know, Marcus Lattimore, I think, you know, who tore his ACL twice, right? Or had those massive knee injuries with South Carolina, you know? And you look at a gruesome injury like that, he's, you know, in a sense, by retiring early, he doesn't have to worry about ever having that, you know, that issue where your leg just buckles and crumbles underneath you, you know? I mean, just look at the tight end from Oregon. That knee, that leg just completely just collapsed under his weight.
Yeah. And, I mean, the 49ers, man, I think their defense just went straight down the tubes.
Oh, they took a huge hit. I mean,
struggled last season. Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And I really think it's one of those things that's like, you guys wanted, you wanted Harbaugh to leave so bad. Now look what happened.
Downfall.
If Harbaugh is still the coach, I don't think Gore leaves. Maybe Patrick Willis stays for one more season.
You think so?
I think so. I think he had that ability because, like, they were so close to putting something together, or at least they thought they did.
Now, I think the minute they decided to go ahead and use, you know, Kaepernick as their starting quarterback, I think things started falling off track. I think had you kept Alex Smith,
they should have kept Alex.
Yeah. So, and I think Kaepernick was a bad decision. It was a poor decision, and that's what I think ultimately started the downward spiral that the 49ers have been starting to face now. You know, certain players leaving, coach leaving, so. Let's be honest. I mean, do you really think that Kaepernick is going to be there in the next, I don't know, 2 years as a starting quarterback, maybe three?
I think he'll fire one more coach before he goes.
Yeah, I can see that happening.
I think they keep him. This next coach gets fired for not winning. And then the other coach that they hired basically says, I don't want him. And that's when they go. A different direction.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I think the 49ers are a world of hurt. But to me, I think the NFC West just got a lot weaker. Just with the retirements, the loss of Harbaugh, loss of Gore. You know, I think Seattle still comes out on top in the NFC West, even over Arizona.
Yeah, and you know Arizona's kind of a weird animal as it is, and as much as it's weird to say, I do think that the Rams, if you look at the Rams, they've kind of like, it's been small improvements, but they've improved almost every season. And they have a possibility to be that number two now, I think, especially with the Niners are just, there's no one else to sign. There's no one else to bring in. There's no one that's going to compensate for what they've lost.
No, I mean, even the draft, you're looking at developing a linebacker, you know, it's going to take time. You can bring a linebacker in, play him his rookie season, you know, but is he really going to have a huge impact season one? It's usually season two, maybe three is when they finally end up, you know, actually starting to shine.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I know it's a little early, but, man, I don't see – gosh, I see the Niners being a 4-win, 5-win team. Like,
wow,
I think
that low,
that
huh?
Bad. I think
defense is going
to – I think I'd
give them 7-9. I'd give them a respectable 7-9.
Yeah, I can see that. But, you know, where I'm looking at it from is that they're going to be able to put some points on the board here and there. But that defense was not great last year. and it's lost some, it lost a leader, and there's a lot of things going on that no one understands right now. No one knows what's going on, and it could even get worse. You never know. Some other players might be venturing, I think the morale's not going to be there.
Who do they get to replace Harbaugh? Who's the coach there now?
I don't know his name. I have not paid attention.
Exactly. My point right there.
Right. And that's what I'm thinking, you know, you give him 7, I give him about 5, meet in the middle and give him about 6 even. But, you know, I don't know, that defense, if it's very porous, I mean, you've got Seattle twice, and Seattle's going to score on you. And they're going to eat up clock. And they got a great defense that can handle what that offense is going to throw at them. I think the defense of the Rams can slow them down. So I think just teams in their division alone are going to chip away at them, and I don't. And outside their division, there's a lot of teams that are going to eat them alive on offense, I believe. I haven't looked at their schedule for this season, though.
Well,
but against that defense, everyone's going to be interested.
Jim Tomsula is his name. He is a graduate of Catawba University. Wow. I don't know. His coaching career started with the London Monarchs. Looks like the European NFL League.
Oh.
So.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's impressive. And then he was there until 2006, became the defensive line coach in 2007, and that's where he's been ever since. Became the interim head coach in 2010. That's probably before they got Harbaugh, and now he's the head coach. I don't know. He doesn't have an impressive resume. So I guess, you know, your five win, you know, prediction, I guess is a pretty good one. Not going to lie.
I mean, it could be between 5 and 7. And then if you even give it half, you know, you meet in the middle, you're talking 6. I just can't see. No, they're not winning more than that.
Fair enough.
They might win less.
I mean, it would all depend, too, on the quarterback situation, too. But, like, you've got Kaepernick. I don't see Kaepernick being a premier, you know, tier one quarterback in the NFL.
And he's definitely not going to go ahead and compensate for what you're losing. He's not like Tom Brady, who's, like, had, you know, you have nobody. Everyone thinks, oh, they have nobody this year. And then, boom, they do something about it. It's just not the same. And I think Kaepernick, I think he's shown a lot of his true colors last season. And it's just going to keep getting worse.
Oh, absolutely. He's got an attitude. I mean, that's fine. I think to be a leader, you have to have somewhat of an attitude. But his is just a little over the top, kind of childish.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, immature too, I think, at times.
Yeah, and how about this? I just saw this. The 49ers signed running back Reggie Bush to a one-year deal.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one-year deal. Okay, I'm going to say right now, I think we had this discussion last week. Reggie Bush is no, you know, Frank Gore. He's not a power back.
No,
he's more of a runner. He can't smash a football into a defensive line and expect him to get 3 or 4 yards per carry, you know?
He's a punt returner that has some decent moves.
Exactly.
He's like how I see him.
Yep. No, wholeheartedly.
Interesting.
But you can't
and it's funny we got on the 49ers because, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That team's in disarray. They have a long way to come back.
Yeah, they have a long way to come. They have a long way to go. And I think they end up rebuilding in like 3 years.
well, hopefully for their second opportunity.
Well.
They need some help.
They need to sell the farm.
terrible.
Yeah, so I think they should do is just cut everybody. Build a salary cap, just start drafting. Drafting.
Absolutely. We'll see what ends up happening. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Very. So, again, if you're just joining us, this is We've Been Talking Sports and brought to you by Blue Ribbon Entertainment Company, live at the Blue Ribbon Entertainment Company studios in Central Oregon. So, I don't know if you paid attention to the newest Cowboy.
Dallas Cowboys signing Hardy?
Yeah.
How do you feel about
for me, man?
I'm going to tell you right now, Hardy is not that I heard of until today. I know that sounds terrible.
What, say that again?
I said Greg Hardy is a name that I haven't heard about until literally maybe a day or two ago.
Oh, wow, yeah. Heard about him a couple seasons ago. Last year, obviously, he was in a lot of trouble, but he kind of got – he was one of the domestic violence people, but he also got drowned out by Ray Rice and – the Adrian Peterson deal, but Greg Hardy is a name. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I think, you know, a lot of things got drowned out with the Ray Rice issue, you know. I think, yeah, the Peterson thing also contributed to some things being hidden too, but, I mean, honestly, everyone was focused on Ray Rice, the video that came out, and then just that whole downfall from there.
Yeah, and the thing with Hardy is that if you look at his, you know, you look at his tape and you watch him play. The guy is very good at what he does. He's very mean. My thing is, like, you look at it from just a pure football standpoint, and as far as his personality and, like, the way he is and the way he plays, the Cowboys haven't really had someone like that in a long time since, like, Charles Haley. Like, I was hoping we would pull, like, you know, Ndamukong Suh or somebody because, you know, if we get a better pass rush going, it takes some pressure off of our secondary, which is really kind of porous, and it's not exactly the most reliable. And now that our running game is going to be not what it was last season, I think the defense is going to have to be on the field a little bit longer, and it's going to be more up to them to get themselves off the field. And having a pass rusher is going to be beautiful. However, we still don't even know, but the league – it looks like they're going to hand down some sort of suspension for Hardy as soon as he signs.
Was he not suspended this past season?
What?
Was he not suspended this past season?
Yeah, he was released, or he was on the exempt list, so he basically he got cut. And
so then basically, I don't see any rule or, you know, need to suspend him even more. If he didn't play at all last season because of that, you know,
I don't either, but
the new NFL.
But that's the that's the story, though. That's what they're talking about right now, and they're deliberating it as we speak as to what. Because as soon as he was signed, because you technically, you know, how can you suspend someone who doesn't have a team? So once he signed, they're now deliberating on whether or not they're going to suspend him, and some people are saying it's going to be in between 4 to 6 weeks. Which now, what does that mean for Hardy making an impact? How much of an impact does he make?
Then he appeals.
The appeals?
I mean, that's
true.
Absolutely, the appeal. Because this is a guy, obviously nobody would sign him last season if that's the case because of the issue, you know, of his domestic violence charge. Now, he didn't play an entire year. To me, you know, you say, okay, yes, I did wrong. You know, wrong things happened, but you push to have time served. I mean, he already sacrificed a season. You're really going to try to sacrifice
correct,
him for
and
another
that
season.
That is the point, and I think that's the big point, is that, you either look at this as, oh, this is something, he did such a horrible thing, and you boot him out of the league, or you say, okay, we're going to accept him back in the league, and we already killed him for a whole year, and made him lose all that money, made him lose all that playing time, cut from his team and all that stuff. That's a pretty big deal.
No, it's massive, you know. No way am I condoning domestic violence whatsoever, but when you look at it, okay, if you're going to have whatever rules you're going to have in place, you know, whether he's on the exempt list or what have you, okay, this is a person whose season was lost last year already to that issue, you know.
Yep.
For me, I look at it like, if he gets suspended again, that's double punishment for the same crime, you know. And even in the United States legislature, that's pretty much, you know, you can't do that either.
Exactly, yeah. And that's kind of what came up during the Ray Rice issue, was they suspended him for 4 games or 3 games or something like that. And then the video came out and the league came out and put him on, you know, suspended him indefinitely. And
absolutely.
I think that was kind of what came up then, and I think that would come up now. Now, the Cowboys aren't paying a whole lot for Hardy, so I think the upside is pretty good. They, I don't know all the details, but I do know that he, to hit his, so it's basically $13 million that he would get this season, but it's almost entirely wrapped up in incentives. So his contract is a one-year deal. His incentives include, like, sack numbers and games played, practices attended, meetings attended, and stuff like that. And obviously personality, character stuff. So the Cowboys could get through this season with Hardy and only pay him about $5 to $6 million.
It's not terrible. One-year deal, see how he does. If he works out, you know, you set him for an extended period of time.
Well, and I feel like that's going to be a good thing because I think it's almost like he's on probation because the Cowboys are basically saying, look, we'll give you $13 million, but you have to show up, you have to play, you have to be at the team meetings, you have to be at practice, you have to do what we think you can do for us. And it's basically an audition because even if Greg Hardy doesn't want to re-sign with the Cowboys next year, if he wants any future in the NFL, he's going to have to toe the line, so to speak, with this team.
Fair enough. Now, let me ask you this then. Do you think that Hardy's going to be a good replacement for DeMarcus Ware?
You know, as far as talent-wise, I think he could be right up there as far as the impact that he makes on the line itself. However, I do not see him as much of an impact overall as I think DeMarcus Ware had the attention of everybody on that football team. People loved him. He was a cowboy, like at the time, like he was, you know, not with any other team. He was the guy. And I think you can't devalue the impact he had as far as making other people better around him and just being that, I guess, force overall. And I don't know who's the better defensive end at this time, but as far as what I've seen, like when I go look at the clips of Hardy, he's a little bit nastier than DeMarcus Ware was, but DeMarcus Ware was very strong. So I'd love to try. I'm still the Cowboy fan that's like, hey, a couple seasons, let's get him back. Let's pull DeMarcus Ware back to the Cowboys. So I'm hoping for that one day, and maybe they'll do that and Hardy will be there too. I don't know. And that's a weird question because I guess what I got to say is I don't know, but if right now you said, hey, here's your options. You can keep Hardy or you can get DeMarcus Ware back, but you have to cut Hardy. I take DeMarcus Ware back.
So DeMarcus Ware is a bigger loss then?
I think so. And oh, yeah, I guess DeMarcus Ware is a bigger loss than gaining Hardy. However, in the situation that the Cowboys find themselves in this season, especially on defense and all the unknowns, you almost have to get someone like Hardy. Like you, when that opportunity came up, I mean, you have to get somebody who at least has shown at times that he's pretty much right there under Ndamukong Suh. Like, if he didn't have any of the off-season problems, if none of that stuff happened, he would be, you know, one of the most sought-after free agents this year, along, you know, with the same money that Sue got.
Well, absolutely, yeah.
So, in that context, I mean, I think the Cowboys did it the right way because, I mean, they're basically saying, hey, we're only taking a year with you and we're not giving you that much money unless you do what we think, you know, you can do. Otherwise, you can just go bleep yourself. That's exactly what they said. Because, you know, they said earlier when he was in Valley Ranch talking to the Cowboys, it was said that the Seahawks, that he had a scheduled meeting with the Seahawks in Tampa Bay. And I don't know how true that was. I know the Seahawks came out and said that he wasn't meeting with them. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, though, didn't say anything for a while, and then they said, we are no longer interested. So he had no options but the Cowboys, and I think the Cowboys were like, okay, we have you by the cojones.
So basically he had to go for whatever team was willing to offer him, and no wiggle room for negotiation.
No, and that's why I totally believe that if he's ever going to turn it around and change, it's this year, especially because he had such limited interest because of his, you know, everybody was thinking about getting him because of his talent, so that wasn't a problem. But his off-field issues were so bad that the only team that would really take a risk on him was the same people that kept signing Terrell Owens. So he's going to have to work hard and prove himself, I think. And I think that's what he's going to want to do. Because if he wants to stay in the NFL, what's that?
Oh, he'll have to prove to everyone that he's a changed man.
He's going to have to prove it. And he's going to want to, I think, at least for this season. Because he's going to want more money. He's not going to want the money he's getting. And he has 1 year contract. So basically, it's that contract year. You know how players are when they're playing to be re-signed somewhere or trying to get that big money. They go all out and they have like their best season during contract years. Des Bryant was in a contract year, amazing season. And there's so many players out there that have amazing seasons on their contract year, then they get their money, and then they're done. That's crazy. It happens all the time.
Yep.
Here's another question for you. Now that we've talked about Chris Borland retiring, we got Patrick Willis, who's like 32, 31, retiring. Do you think that this possibly is setting a trend for linebackers and such to possibly – you know, not be in the league that long, to come in, play some seasons, get some money, and go away?
See, I don't know if it's any correlation, like the amount of money that they're getting and then leaving early. I think you're going to see players retiring earlier. But I don't know. You know, it's tough for me to say. I mean, you look at players who come in, they play a few seasons, but realistically, you know, what is the longevity? What's the expiration date in certain positions? You look at running backs that come in, they may be good for, you know, 3 to 5 seasons, and after that, it seems like they're over the hill, you know, at the age of 28. So it's really bad league. And the things that are really dictating that is the size and speed of the athletes. I mean, they keep getting bigger, they keep getting stronger, and they keep getting faster, and the hips become harder and harder because of that. And the human body can only take so much day in and day out of that.
Right.
So
do they slow down the game, or, like, is there anything
you
can alter?
Touchdown sells, speed sells. I mean, right now, the NFL is on an all-time high when it comes to, like, selling. I mean, you look at a business standpoint, they can say, you know, we don't want our athletes, you know, juicing up or taking HGH, you know, but realistically, they do. You want your athletes to be super freaks because you want to see the super freaks compete, do this amazing show for all the fans, and that's what sells.
Right.
So, but with that comes, you know, the loss of, you know, or you gain injuries. I mean, so one, you know, retiring, he might be doing himself a service. He's probably smart in that sense.
I think so. I think it's smart. I know Patrick Willis has some feet issues. I can't remember exactly what the injuries are, but he has something that he hurt his foot and he just can't do what he used to do, and that's kind of what he was saying. It's just like,
and that's fine. I only bring up the knee just because, you know, with me, especially turning my own ACL, you know, it's the first thing that comes to my mind. You know, how long can someone's knees last, especially running backs? Running backs, I mean, you're talking about running backs like, you know, Marshawn Lynch, and he's already having back issues, you know?
Yeah.
His career, he's not that old. But yet he's considered old by many people.
I consider him old. Like, I think
I'm
about it.
At 31, you know, I don't think I'm old. But then again, if I was a running back that was getting pounded, you know, every Sunday, you know, I'm sure my body would not feel the way it does today.
No, and it's football years. It's running back years. I think, like, he's old for a running back. He's at the point, I think, where you wonder, is this the year that he stops doing what he can do? Or is this or is next year the year that he stops?
But that can even be translated to linebackers. I mean, those guys, they line up in the middle of the field. You know, they're 4.4 speed, and then they're going to go in for a tackle. And most times they're not wrapping up. You know, they're not doing these rugby tackles where they put their arms around a player, you know, grab them and bring them down. They go in there for the spear and a straight, you know, monstrous hit. You know, they're laying out a hit. Somebody else, but are you not hurting your shoulder? Are you not hurting your neck? Are you not hurting your back? I mean, these are all things that are going to have repercussions for doing this amazing damage of a tackle.
I think so.
I mean, you know, the league's trying to get, you know, I guess stricter when it comes to, like, the health of their players and things like that. Honestly, I think tackling, the way in which players tackle needs to be addressed. It's not so much like the launching or anything like that. Many of these players are wrapping around, and I get that. You know, as players become stronger and faster, it's going to become harder and harder to do. But when I watch college football, I can see, you know, technique in some of the players. Like, there's some programs, obviously, that show that they still continue to teach that, how to wrap a player, bring him down, you know? And if you feel like you can't do that at the NFL level, look at rugby. Okay, you can look at the sport of rugby. These are men that are just the same size as NFL players, you know, linebacker NFL players that are running just as fast, that are even more highly conditioned, that are smashing each other with no pads, okay? And they don't have nearly as many injuries as the NFL. So for me, you have to take a note out of their book and say, okay, what is it that they're doing that's different from the NFL?
Right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we have something kind of special for you guys, and we will let you know then.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school, so you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby.
Welcome back to We've Been Saying It Sports, brought to you by Blue Ridge Entertainment Company. We are live in the Blue Ridge Entertainment Studios in Central Oregon, which is actually really sunny today, which is really nice because it was crappy yesterday. And me and my co-host here, we have something kind of interesting that we're going to start doing on the show. And we are going to start drafting players in the various decades. We're going to come up with our dream teams for those decades. And today we're going to start with the current decade, which we have not finished. And so we're going to basically do like a snake draft. And today we are going to be drafting our QBs, our running backs, our wide receivers, our defensive line, and our corner, you know, the ones that everyone pays attention to. So, Leno, with the first pick, you get to pick a quarterback, so don't rush into it. Make the right decision.
I'm not trying to rush into it. I mean, do I have a clock? Can I get a clock? Am I on the clock now?
Oh, you have, let's see, let's give you a clock. Yes, you have starting, you have 10 seconds starting now.
No, I've already got my decision. I already know which quarterback I like overall. I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay Packers.
Ooh, safe pick. A-A-Ron.
Ron Rodgers. I guess the only thing that's greater than him in Wisconsin is cheese. That's what I hear.
Maybe. Right. All right, so Aaron Rodgers goes to Mr. Adonan. That is. Is Aaron Rodgers Mexican?
No, but we can make him honorary Mexican if you want.
He's an honorary Mexican. You know? Okay, so for this, it's going to be kind of interesting. I guess it wouldn't come as a surprise, but Mr. Lyons is going to pick Mr. Tony Romo.
You're going to pick Romo, really, after all the quarterbacks are out there?
Yeah, come on. Nope. He had his best season last year. He is kind of old, not too hurt. I don't know.
Not
too hurt.
The guy
can still get away.
Yeah, all right. Go for it. You take the Tony Romo. That's okay.
I wanted to strike fear in the hearts of my enemies. You know, Tony Romo can make some plays, man. All right. So,
okay.
I get the next pick because it's like the snake draft. So we're going to go for running backs, current running backs. And I am going to take I am taking Marshawn Lynch. I got to.
You're going to take beast mode, even after you said that he's too old.
I'm saying he's getting old, but, you know, as of today, he's probably the best around. No one's ever going to keep you down. All right, Leno.
What are you going to do if he retires?
Huh?
What are you going to do if he retires?
It doesn't matter.
Isn't he contemplating retirement?
He might be, but it doesn't matter. He still was within this decade.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Am I on the clock yet?
You are on the clock for a running back.
All right.
This is how the draft should work. To be like, you have to draft a running back. You have to draft this.
All right. Well, I am drafting Le'Veon Bell out of Pittsburgh. What are you talking about? This is a great kid who is only, year number two. He's going into year three in the NFL, who's been putting up tremendous numbers, who can catch in the backfield as well as run. This is a great running back.
Yeah, he's not going to be that great next year.
Well, we'll see.
I think he's already hit his ceiling.
Le'Veon Bell, ceiling? Year number two, that's it?
Okay.
I give him one more year, maybe two. Come on.
I give him one more season.
All I know is that from right here, running backs, maybe five seasons, that's it, you know?
Right. So, I'm picking a wide out. A wide receiver. The man.
I think I get the first pick now.
Huh?
Do I get the first pick? I thought we were snaking this thing.
Oh yeah, we are snaking it. Shoot, I was trying to pull one of those Jerry Jones' secret moves. Okay, go ahead. If you still mind, I'm gonna be so mad.
Who do I want? Well, I've got three choices that I want to choose between. I'm gonna talk about them a little bit, just for a split second. Dez Bryant in my mind, Odell Beckham Jr., and Randall Cobb. I think that
Odell Beckham, that's a good choice.
He's a great choice. However, he also has Eli Manning as his quarterback, which is a bad choice. However,
Super Bowl.
Okay, fluke Super Bowl. I'm sorry. Super Bowl win is a Super Bowl win, but regardless of the fact, you should not have him. But Odell Beckham Jr., and I think most people focus on him because of the one-hand grab that he had. And then you have Dez Bryant, who's getting a little older, you know. But I'm looking at Randall Cobb, who's been in the league, what, a few years now? Maybe three or four? I think, honestly, I'm going to choose Randall Cobb as my pick.
All right.
Out of Green Bay.
That is not a bad pick.
Hey, he's been consistent. That's all I care about is consistency.
I would say yes, and that I think that's where Randall Cobb would beat out Dez in some ways. I mean, I think Dez makes some great plays. He's a playmaker. I think Dez Bryant still just has a little bit of the little things to learn. And the thing is that, yeah, he does get, you know, a lot of attention. He gets double teamed a lot. But there are some things I think Dez needs to kind of figure out. Well,
no, absolutely.
You did, in all three of those, you didn't mention the man that I was going to pick. So I'm
who are you
going to
pick?
I am picking the guy who I believe, if he was on almost any other team other than a few, he would have a Super Bowl ring by now. And that is Megatron. Calvin Johnson.
He is a good one. Calvin Johnson, I'm not going to lie, is a good one.
That's a great one. And I think if Calvin Johnson's on any other halfway decent team, I'd have won a Super Bowl already. I think the Lions just are interesting because, I don't know what to say about Detroit.
Their defense took a hit, though. I think they lost both Barely and Sue.
Yeah. Sue is a big impact player.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I guess I get to pick now, again, the back of the snake draft. So
what are we picking?
We are picking the lines. Defensive end.
Okay.
So a D-line, someone up front, someone, a pass rusher. I'm kind of torn. We were talking about DeMarcus Ware. And I would love to have DeMarcus Ware, but would I want him over someone like Sue? It's a really hard one because I think they're just a little different in some aspects, and Sue is really strong. DeMarcus Ware is really fast too. Let's see.
He's like some pump me up for these intermissions between. So you need some pump me up music in between each pick.
I do. I can do that. Okay, here. I think I know who I'm gonna pick, but for a second here, I'm gonna go ahead. I think it's this one. There we go. Yeah. Okay. I am picking J.J. Watt.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
What are you picking him?
Because, okay, so you got – I had Sue on my board. I had Ware on my board. But then when I looked at it, I was thinking to myself, I need some locker room presence. I need a guy that's going to make me laugh in the morning on Sundays when we're tired and we need some pumping up. And he's a good guy. So I think he's good. Good defensive end. I pick J.J.
Wow. Okay. Well.
All right.
I didn't see that coming, but I see why he chose that.
And I think it's funny because we're going to be basing this off of, like, computer analytics, so the whole thing, that whole reason why I picked him does not work. So, we know you were on the chopping block for a defensive end or tackle, whatever.
I will, well, Hernandez has her picking.
You have yours?
Oh, it's in, baby. Maybe. Oh.
Who is it?
Ndamukong Suh, Miami Dolphins.
Of course. Of course.
Of course, dude. Straight beast mode on the defensive end.
Portland, Oregon.
He is out of Portland, Oregon. Unfortunately, he went and played for the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Terrible decision in his collegiate career, but hey, I can't fault the guy.
Can you imagine having Sue as a duck?
Oh, the Ducks would have been happy. Yeah.
Oh my God. Yeah, we wouldn't have lost the national championship. Okay. Anyway.
Go for all it. Right.
So we have corner next.
Yeah, we're picking a corner.
All right. All right, you got a pick.
You can pick a safety if you want.
Pick, dude. Come on. It's all about the Legion of Boom, dude. Richard Sherman. Straight shutdown. Come on.
Richard Sherman. Get that chunky soup. Get that chunky soup kind of money.
His mama gives me chunky soup. All right.
Richard Sherman's making that chunky soup kind of money. Okay.
Maybe he could have a little more shutting down in the Super Bowl, but apparently he didn't. It's okay. All right.
I have a... I might be changing my pick. I had one. No, I think I'm changing my pick.
We should see what corner he's going to take now. Is it going to be Darrell Revis?
I wasn't thinking Richard Sherman, but...
That would be a tough choice.
Well, maybe I was going to pick Richard Sherman. I don't know. Okay?
If you wouldn't, that would be so silly.
I was thinking of it, okay? But now I got to play it off like, you know, I don't care. Wasn't even on my radar. You know what? This is really. I'm going to pick Byron Maxwell.
Byron Maxwell.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
You know why?
Why is that?
Because at least he was right there with him for a while. Okay. So I get to pick. No, we're done, right?
Is that it? Is you wanted to do corner, defensive line? Yeah, that's all the players, man.
For today, let's see. You know? Okay. All right. So
let's do
a recap. We'll recap this for now. Lino's team is going to be led by Aaron Rodgers at QB. He's going to be under center at the helm. You have Le'Veon Bell in the backfield.
Absolutely.
Randall Cobb will be catching those passes. And Ndamukong Suh will be trying to destroy Tony Romo. Richard Sherman will be trying to pick him off.
He might be successful. Which he might be successful, but, I mean, I got Richard Sherman having to, like, match up against Megatron.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Depending on what the rest of your team fills up with. You have Sue, which is a really good pass rusher, so that offensive line is going to have some struggles, and that ball's going to have to come out of their hands quick. And Richard Sherman can cover for a little bit of time. So that's going to be an interesting one. But, yeah, Calvin Johnson can kind of jump a little bit.
Sure. So, okay, I like Calvin Johnson. We picked five players this time around?
We picked five players.
Okay, so do you want to do another five next week? Is that what you want to do?
We can do more than that next week.
Oh, snap.
Let's pick 10 players next week.
10 players?
Because, yeah, five backups other than the quarterback. So four backups, you need another, well, not backups, but, yeah, you need a backup running back, but you need, you know, like, another defensive end.
Wait,
another
corner. I think we have to choose an offensive lineman next time.
Yeah, we'll throw that in the mix, because that's what I was saying, you got five, so you're going to need another corner, you're going to need another defensive lineman, you're going to need Possibly a safety, and then maybe backup running back. So that gives you four. And then, so when we go into the other six, you can pick a center. Or let's just go center and two tackles, and linebacker. Linebackers.
Two tackles.
Fair enough.
Linebacker. That's four. What else am I missing?
No. Okay, so, yeah, so two tackles, a center, two linebackers.
Wait, okay.
I already said that. No, center, two tackles, two linebackers, that's five, and then
yeah.
A backup running back, another DL, you know, no, whatever, defensive end, whatever. Then another corner and another receiver.
Fair enough.
And,
I think it's two.
And that's nine. So let's throw in one more. A safety?
Safety it is?
No, a kicker.
I said a kicker. Weren't you listening to me
when
like 5 minutes ago?
You did not say that.
Oh, I sure did. I still can't get over the Romo pick. I'm telling you right now, I don't know where that came from.
Which one?
Tony Romo. Are we serious? You had Andrew Luck to choose from. I mean, I'm looking at people with youth, man. Romo's on his way out.
I think,
if he doesn't win Super Bowl this year, dude, he's never going to win one.
So is Aaron Rodgers on his way out.
Aaron Rodgers? Are we serious? Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Tony Romo was a victim of a horrible team for years.
Well, we can just agree to disagree. It's okay.
We could, but, you know, the numbers tell otherwise.
The only number that I care about between our two quarterbacks is Super Bowl wins. Rodgers has one. How many?
Oh, then by that. Okay, let's go by your reasoning here.
Okay.
There's another quarterback that we mentioned earlier that has two.
Yeah, it's true. Definitely wouldn't
be Eli. Are you taking Eli over Rodgers?
Not
a minute.
Eli and take Tom Brady. No, I mean, come on.
I thought about it for like 2 seconds, then I was like, it's Tom Brady. Tuck rule. Not very interested.
Good quarterback. I still think Aaron Rodgers is better right now and younger.
I think Aaron Rodgers is a little bit more fun to play with.
Oh, absolutely, man. You can't beat discount.
That yeah, that was a big discount deal. What would think about it? Okay, who? Man, I want to know. We have a little bit of time. I'm going to look something up real quick. Okay, so I'm going to go to the old Google.
The Google machine.
Mm-hmm.
It's usually where a lot of good information is found.
Where everyone gets their information anymore, I think.
Well, I hear, you know, from reading on Google that if I drink water and breathe air, I'm going to die. Is that true?
I think it is true now. Our air and water. Hey, you know, the leading cause of death is being born.
Oh, wow. Impressive. I'm not looking up anymore. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm watching this guy fish with his bare hands. It's pretty amazing.
Dude, I've tried that and I can't do it. I cannot do it. It does not work. I am not good at it. I can't catch a fish with my hands. Okay, so who was, without going to the Googles, and you should know this actually, I think.
Okay, all right.
Who was the number one pick in the 2005 NFL draft? Which was the Aaron Rodgers draft.
Oh, the Aaron Rodgers draft in 2005, number one pick overall.
No Googling yourself.
Well, you just Googled it yourself.
Okay, I love doing that.
Very unfair. Very unfair.
Oh man.
I'm gonna have to throw my flag and say, I don't recall.
Alex Smith.
Oh, you know what?
To the San Francisco 49ers.
I feel like I knew that already. Because I knew that Rodgers actually fell really deep in the first round.
You know what's funny? Can you imagine Aaron Rodgers if he would have been picked in 2005 to the 49ers?
Yeah. It'd be a whole different story.
Niners,
how...
Put Kaepernick's crew with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah. I think it could turn out a lot better. I mean, they had some good receivers for a while. I mean, I don't know if Crabtree's even still with the 49ers.
I don't think he is either. And the very next quarterback to be picked in that draft was Rodgers. So Rodgers was the second quarterback picked in the NFL draft, and it was all the way down to number 24.
That's what I thought, yep.
Man, Washington should have traded up to get him. The Redskins picked the QB right after that.
We could sit here and debate that all day long, but, like, what is it? Didn't Rodgers sit behind Brett Favre for a year?
He did.
So, I mean, their development, their upbringing is completely different.
Couple years.
You throw Rodgers into what, the 49ers mess that was going on with that coach? What was it? Was it Singletary that they had?
Yeah, Mike Singletary.
And things were just chaotic for a couple years. You know, you had Vernon Davis, who still cries, but was crying, you know, all the time at that point in time. I mean, that team was just in flux. It wasn't until Harbaugh came along that it actually got any better. So who's to say that Rodgers wouldn't have been what Alex Smith was, and Alex Smith didn't become who Aaron Rodgers was if they were flipped?
You're true. You're right. Who was picked after Aaron Rodgers by the Washington Redskins? Someone that you know.
Oh, do I? Why would I know this?
I'm pretty sure he played for that silver and black team. At one point.
They had I think 17 quarterbacks in the last, like, 10 years. You told me to pick one.
He was out of Auburn.
Oh, my God. You're not talking about I know the name. Oh, my goodness. Everyone touted him, too. He thought he was, like, this great player. That was a whole debacle during the college football year where everyone thought Auburn should win the national championship. Jeez.
I thought he was going to do great when he went to Oakland.
No.
I keep doing that with Oakland, though. I keep making that mistake. I'm like, oh, my gosh, they're building something. And then I'm like, no.
No, it's just crumbling.
That's not true.
forget his name, but I know exactly who you're talking about.
Jason Campbell.
Jason Campbell.
Man.
Campbell Soup. You know, he hasn't been a terrible quarterback, though. I mean,
you know
he's been... I think he's been like a journeyman, you know, through the NFL, but he hasn't been a terrible quarterback.
No, and he also went to some crappy teams. I mean, Washington Redskins and the Oakland Raiders.
He's definitely a solid backup. I mean, come on.
He still plays.
Exactly. Unlike Jamarcus Russell at LSU.
What team does he play for?
Jason Campbell? I thought the last time I knew that he's with the Browns. I don't know who he's with now.
Oh, that was like in 2013.
So epic fail on my part then. I don't know where he's at now. Is he with Washington again?
He's with the Bengals.
That is fantastic.
He's played four games with the Cincinnati Bengals. He's completed 11 for 19 at 57.9% for 74 yards, averaging 3.9 yards.
That's
he
amazing.
He sacked once, 66.6 QB rating.
Nice.
He has one rushing attempt for 1 yard, and he lost a fumble. The Cleveland Browns, he played some games. I think the last, like, actual season was Oakland.
It's rather impressive, man.
Yeah. It's an impressive body of work. He'll go down as one of the greats. I think we all know that. Would you say was, okay, out of our, like, limited generational knowledge, since we've been keeping up with football, who was the biggest bust to come out of the draft?
And the biggest bust?
That you would say, like, in our little era.
I would say it's going to be either Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell. I'm going to say Jamarcus Russell just because I think the Raiders lost so much, especially money. I don't think the Chargers lost as much money.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the next great thing.
Absolutely.
But I don't know if you can compete with Ryan Leaf, because Ryan Leaf was touted as, like, gosh, man, the way they talked about him.
Yeah.
They talked him up.
Yep.
Damn. Yep. Who was the biggest bargain other than Aaron Rodgers?
Biggest bargain?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say Robert Griffin, because look at how many picks the Rams got out of that.
Okay. I was kind of thinking of a different kind of value.
You like what was that? Come on. He's pretty creepy.
I like that. I mean, that they got a lot for him. Holy cow, they got a lot for nothing. I mean, for him. Colt McCoy re-signed with Washington. It's Kirk Cousins, Colt McCoy, and RG3, with RG3 the starter. When do you give up on that?
Probably after this season.
Ugh. Could you even trade him at this point?
I think they should try, at least maybe mid-season.
Does he have any value?
Not much.
Nope. I think your backups have more value.
No, absolutely.
But my pick for probably the biggest bargain, or the one that nobody really saw, was Russell Wilson.
Oh, absolutely. Dropping down to the third round.
Yeah. Nobody gave him a shot. Well, thank you, Lino Hernandez, for being on the show today again. And we had a fun time with the draft there. I'd say our quarterbacks are pretty comparable. And we talked about the new Hardy Boys of the Cowboys and Chris Borland. And do you have any final thoughts?
No, that's it, man. Can't wait to do some more drafting. I can't wait to draft the rest of my players.
Yeah, we got to draft more. Of course, we're going to have to get up on some fantasy football this year. Game for a couple seasons, so we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how it goes, dude.
We will see. All right. Well, from the Blue Ray Entertainment Company studios in Central Oregon, we are saying goodbye, arrivederci, and be safe. Don't drink and drive. And if you must drink and drive, just drive your spouse wild. So, all right. Have a great one. And, Lena, we will talk to you next week.
Sounds great. Look forward to it. Don't carry handguns.